We're going to invite Nikki now to come up and to talk to us. Steve, are you going to...
Just going to pray for my daughter before she speaks. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for Nicola. As her father, I bless her. I pray, Lord, that you will bless her this morning, fill her with your spirit. Let her words be your words, let her your words be her words. Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, so thank you so much for letting me share with you this morning. It's a great privilege to be allowed to stand up here and just share what God has been doing in my life and what I've been allowed to partner with him in Australia and abroad. So, yeah, like Pete said earlier, for the last 2 years, I've been working with Youth with a Mission. And for those that don't know, Youth with a Mission is an international organization made up of young people from all over the world. We're based in 180 countries, 1,000 locations in each of those countries, and 18,000 staff worldwide. So in the last kind of 50 years, it's really grown into a large organization, and it's such an amazing thing to be a part of. But my base is in the Sunshine Coast in Australia, which is right in the middle of the East Coast, just an hour north of Brisbane. So that's where I spend most of my time, is in Australia. And my role is with Youth with a Mission is I'm staff on the discipleship training schools. That's kind of a long and complicated name, but it's basically the first school that anyone who joins YWAM takes a part in, and it's a 5-month school really focused on getting to know God and then making him known. So young people from all over the world, they come to Australia and we spend 3 months just doing lectures and life together, just learning more about God, about relationship with God, about why we should be sharing his word, about missions and what that looks like. And then we lead teams overseas, and predominantly for me it's been into Southeast Asia because that's kind of the nearest from Australia. So yeah, so this last school, the arrows up there relate to where I led a team. Myself and a co-leader, we led a team of 8 young people to the Philippines and then to Indonesia. So we started off in Tacloban in the Philippines, and for those of you that remember last November when Typhoon Haiyan hit, Tacloban was one of the places that was most hit. Almost 90% of the city was destroyed in the typhoon, so obviously there was a lot of devastation that we saw, and the need was glaring, and many people are still living in kind of temporary settlements set up right on the waterfront because that's where there's space to build. So there was a lot of need there, and going into that situation, it was quite difficult to kind of understand where we fit into that, because as a team of young people, we weren't trained builders, we didn't come with materials or supplies to meet some of that physical need. And for the first week, it was quite difficult for our team to really come before God and say, okay, well, what is our role here? And what is it that you would have us do? Because there's lots of teams and lots of people out there doing rebuilding, bringing medical relief, lots of things like that. But actually, what we realized was that beneath the obvious physical need, there was another need in people, and there was a great spiritual brokenness and a lot of just real need for the hope and the joy that God had to offer them. Just the truth that simply that God is good and that he didn't punish the Philippines with some great thing. A lot of them have a lot of hurt towards God and just are very confused. And so we really realized that what we needed to do was to bring the encouragement and the love and the hope that God brings. And so in that, we would share with groups of people just testimonies of what God has done in our lives, of the things that we've seen to be true. We have several dramas that we do as well that kind of show different aspects of God's character. It's no words involved, because obviously the problem in a lot of these nations is there's a language barrier. And so we find that these dramas kind of really show God in a way that they can understand. And through prayer as well, everywhere we went, we would seek for the opportunity to pray for people and allow God to do the talking and not us, because it's really when you open the door to let the Holy Spirit move and step aside yourself that that's when the biggest difference is made. And so we saw that in Tacloban, in a place that was, there were so many people, and the people that we were working with there, say they were saying that the harvest is ripe now, but that the workers are few. And we really saw that in our time there. We did a week where we were going into many different communities, just setting up, talking to the families in the morning, and then doing this kind of testimonies and dramas and prayer in the afternoon. And in a week, we saw more than 60 people give their lives to Christ. And, you know, there was so many questions and so many people that were hungry. Even if that day they weren't ready to accept him, there was people that were just so interested. And in a country that is predominantly Catholic, where you might think that many people know God, they don't know him at all. They have Bibles, but they never open them. It's just something that they call themselves, and there's such a need for that real relationship with a Savior to give them that reason to keep going every morning and to really push through the things that are hard. So, yeah. And so after the Philippines, sorry, that was a bit loud there. So after our time in the Philippines, we flew over to Indonesia, and in particular we went to an island. It's just east of Bali, and it's called Sumba. And Sumba is, it's one of the last remaining animist islands. So that just means that their kind of traditional religion, or what they worship, is like trees and rocks and different things like that. So obviously the spiritual atmosphere that we were in was very different to the Philippines, and it's very different to a lot of the West. And so even just our presence there, we learned to see, was enough just by being in that place and bringing God's presence with us, because obviously we all carry Jesus with us wherever we go, was enough in a lot of situations. Even just to encourage the people that are already there as missionaries, we would spend time with pastors who are actually from different places in Indonesia but had been called by God to this island. And every time that we were with them, we didn't realize that simply our team coming to spend time in their village where they were working was such an encouragement, until we would leave and they would be just in tears of gratefulness. And yeah, you don't realize what you're doing just by being there, because these people have, they too have left homes and left families to go into a place that they don't know. Many of them, Indonesia has one main language, but they speak lots of different dialects on every island. So these pastors had learned the new dialect, and they're there really just working to see God known. And for us to come across the world just to support them and what they're doing meant so much to them. And more than that, in that, God showed me how much he loves each of his people, that he would draw a group of 10 people from 5 different nations. I had young people on my team from America, from Canada, Norway, Switzerland, just from Germany, just from all over the world, that he would bring us first to Australia and then take us into the middle of nowhere in Sumba. We'd be trekking kind of across rice fields for half the day just to go to one family in one house. And it just showed me like how much that family is worth to him, that he would bring us halfway across the world, take us far out of our comfort zone, eating whatever is given to us, just walking, sleeping on bamboo floors, or for not much time at night because there's cockerels or different things making noise. And he was just saying, like, this is how much they mean, that I would choose to take people all the way across the world just to tell them my truth, to tell them my gospel that they've never heard before, that they will never hear if we don't do this. And so that was quite incredible, just to realize the depth of God's love for his people. And another huge part of what we were doing there was just living life and living by example. We worked with a dormitory there, which the guy is actually, he's a missionary from America, and he's been in Sumba now for quite a few years, and he has a dorm where he accepts young people from the villages who want to continue in high school, and so they live in the city because that's the only place that there is a high school. They have to move out of their hometowns, and really he just lives alongside them and disciples them. And so we got to just do life with them, do work duties with them. We would do small groups with them, just in our time. They would come to the villages with us. They would translate for us when we were going from house to house, and just to spend 2-3 weeks, it's such a small amount of time, but just every minute of the day just with these 13-14 year olds, it was a great opportunity just to show them the faith that they're just beginning to learn about and the opportunities that God has for them, because they have no vision for a future. One of the main cultural difficulties on this island is that they don't dream, because they've never seen any opportunity for more. They don't have vision past their own poverty or the problems that they're in. Particularly the women have no opportunity other than just kind of to get married and to have children and to remain where they are in the village. And so for these girls to see people and to be encouraged by us that they have worth first and foremost, and that they can do more than they've been told, and just to encourage them to simply ask them, what do you want to be when you're older, and to have them think about that and to think, oh, maybe I could do teaching, maybe I can go into parliament, maybe I can be a part of the change in this island, and to see Sumba bettered in the future was an incredible opportunity and something that I'm passionate about. Obviously, discipleship is a huge part of my role with the young people that come to YWAM to spend the 5 months with us, and so to be able to do that in Indonesia too was amazing. And it was difficult to leave. We kind of everyone was in floods of tears that day, even after 2 weeks. It's incredible to think of the bonds that can be made when you are willing to step deeper with people and to give that little bit more of who you are just to bless them. And so a huge part, obviously, of our role and what we were doing in sowing this seed, like the passage was talking about, is to trust God and just knowing what our position is in that. Because, like I was saying earlier, there's lots of difficulties that we encounter. There's language barriers. There's varying needs from one thing to the other. We can't possibly hope to meet all of them in the time that we're there. And then there's that idea of, yes, we go in and we're there for a short time and then we leave. And these things could be a reason to not do it if you let them get to you. But you have to really trust God and trust that His love is far greater than the love that we feel for those people. Like He shared with me, my heart might be breaking for them, but that's only a piece of His heart for them. And if I want them to know Him that much, then He wants them to know Him even more, and that He is more than able to keep them with Him. He's more than able to let them see His goodness. And so within that, with language barriers or with things like that, we just trust. You have to trust that the message is being heard. We would have times when, you know, you're using double translation because you're translating from English to Bahasa Indonesian, which is the main language, and then someone has to translate from that to the individual dialect. And so, you know, you're like, if someone understands this message and accepts God through that, that's not us. At some point in that translation process, God has worked, because it takes a long time for every sentence. And you really just begin to see that it's not our responsibility, and it's not what we can do. It's all just being open to let God move through us and to use us. And I think that takes the pressure off of it for us, but also for everyone, because we're only responsible for our obedience to God's calling. We're not responsible for people's response to that. Like, an example of this is, I know some of the boys and Heidi were handing out chocolates earlier, And so they had been asked, their role was just to hand out the chocolate, and that was what they were responsible for. Now, you could have refused that chocolate. You might have taken it and put it in your pocket or thrown it away later. It might not get eaten. But all the boys were asked to do was to hand out that chocolate, and they fulfilled that role. They're not responsible for what you choose to do with it. And that's like what we are called to do with the gospel. We're only responsible for sharing it. We're called to go or to pray or to encourage. We're not called to be the one that convicts the person or to be the one that converts the person or to be the one that does that. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's just where we have to trust that God is working in that. And a verse that has always encouraged me in this as well is it's in Matthew 4, verse 27, and I'll just read it to you. It says, "The kingdom of God is like a man who sows seed upon the soil, goes to bed by night and rises by day, and the seed grows. How? He himself does not know." And this just shows me that, again, what we're responsible for is simply sowing that seed, and the growth of the seed is all in God. And I think as well as not only taking the responsibility from us, it can take away from that element of pride, because I can look at the things that I've been able to experience and I know that it's not me. It's simply that I have been allowed and privileged to take part in what God is doing in those nations, and that, yeah, he's used me as a tool, but it's all him working through me. It's not me, it's not what I can do, but it's what he does. And I think, yeah, that our role is not everything, and it's just simply our openness and our obedience that God is looking for. Mm-hmm. And I think as well in that we don't stop doing what we're doing because some seed falls on rocky ground. So if one person refused the chocolate, you don't put the chocolates away and give up from that day because the next person might want one. And so I think it's the same. There's people, obviously, wherever we go, who aren't interested, some who really aren't interested, and I think that doesn't make you stop, because if you stop then you might miss the next person who it changes their life. And I think, yeah, that's been something that's been difficult to learn, because it's a big step to put yourself out there for the first time. It's a huge... you feel very vulnerable and it can be scary, but it's definitely not a reason to stop, because not everyone is accepting it. You know, like we say, we're only called to be obedient. And so obviously for me, what I've been called to might look very different to a lot of people. God's put it on my heart to be halfway across the world, to be discipling young people from all over the globe and taking them into the places where he isn't known. That's what I'm passionate about, and that's what I hope to be doing for a bit longer, at least until that vision changes or is narrowed down. But the reality is that we are all called, and the Great Commission is for everyone, and it's an exciting invitation to partner with God in what he's doing everywhere in the world. And wherever you are, it's a mission field. Like right here in Wargrave, there's enough need for everyone to take part in what God is doing. There's enough brokenness, there's enough hurt, and God is needed everywhere. And so whether that's in school, whether that's at work, at home, just when you're out to the shops or doing something, be open to what God is wanting to do around you. Be open to encouraging someone, even if that's just a smile or being friendlier than you normally would to the person behind the counter, or just showing Jesus through your actions. Just be open to how you can be used that day to just bring God's light into where you are. Because God is longing to be brought into every situation and to reach out to his children. One of the most impactful moments for me in the Philippines was a conversation that I had with a lady in a coffee shop, and that conversation could have happened anywhere in the world. It was simply me and one of the girls were out. I was actually having a one-on-one to disciple one of the girls on my team, And this lady overheard our conversation and what we were talking about and was just interested in what we were doing there. And it turned out that she had used to have been Christian but just couldn't trust anymore, didn't have hope. And just in being open to what God was saying then, and just he put it on my heart to share with her just that she was going to refind joy. Or it was a really simple word that he shared, and it just opened up a conversation that moved to her sharing all of her about her life. We were both able to share our testimonies with her and pray for her and just really just step in and show her how much God loves her. And like she ended up friending us on Facebook, and to see now the things that she, like, she's posting, she still is confused about things, but she really is finding God again. And that's kind of, that conversation didn't need to happen in the Philippines. Like, anyone could do that anywhere, just being open to what God wants to say to people around you, and he can do incredible things. And yeah, like I said, simply just living the example, showing Jesus by letting him shine through us. Like the theme of this service is to shine, and in Matthew 5:16 it says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven." And it's like everything that Jesus did was to show the character of the Father, and we should walk as Jesus did. So the things that we're doing should be showing the character of God through us, should be showing Jesus through us. For many people, we are going to be the only Bible that they will ever read. So for many people, simply them knowing us to be Christian, that's the most that they're going to know or discover about God. And so the way we live should be showing Jesus to them. And this can be scary, and to me it was definitely scary at first, and it wasn't easy for me to go into these places or to start sharing God with people. But what I've experienced is every time I step out of my comfort zone, that God is with me 100%, and the joy and the excitement of partnering with God, and the privilege that it is to be invited into what God is doing in the world, to labor with the creator of the world, to see his plan come to pass, and to see everyone come to know him, is it's unbelievable to be able to take part in that. And like the parable that was read shows that if we are really that good soil, we should each be producing a crop. And for me, I believe that this goes beyond the fruits of the Spirit, that it goes beyond the changes in our own hearts to the changes and the impact that we have on those around us. And I think something that will obviously really help that is to go back to the kind of farm analogies, is if we are that good soil, and if we intend to continue to be that good soil, is to let God cultivate us, to make sure that we're allowing him to water us, to weed us, and to plant further seeds, that we are living in relationship with him daily, that we're going to him in prayer, that we're reading the Bible, and that we're listening to words at church, or whether that's podcasts online, that we're being fed by him, and that we're allowing him to pull out those bits that maybe aren't attractive, that aren't reflecting him, that we're allowing him to consistently be growing us to be more and more in his image. And yeah, and so I think I've not got a wrap-up sentence. That's not neat. But yeah, that's just a bit of what I've been learning. And yeah, if you're interested in YWAM or what I'm doing, then please come and speak to me afterwards, or I have a blog and things that's written in the notice sheets. But definitely, just God can use you wherever. It's not too late to be involved. It's not too early to be involved. Just be open, and he is looking for people to share his love with his children. So.
Going to pray for Nikki. Well, loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that message, and we want to lift Nikki to you. We ask for your blessing upon her. We thank you that you've called her to this work, Lord. We thank you for the way you've been using her, and we pray your protection upon her as she goes back in a few weeks' time. And we know that you make provision for all our needs, so we do ask, Lord, that in as she goes back, she would know your provision in every respect, spiritually, physically, financially. And we just thank you for her, Lord Jesus. Pray your blessing upon her. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.